Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good morning and welcome back, family. You're tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, and this is the Mid-Morning Empowerment Weekend Edition. We're speaking now with Pastor Wamalika, who's joining us all the way from Kenya, and we're talking about morality, ethics, the law, and things like that. And the aim of this conversation is to analyze the relationship between those complementary concepts, ethics, morality, law. And, you know, in the introduction at the top of the show, I did give an example of, you know, smuggling a Bible into a country where Bibles are banned, or, you know, sharing the gospel message in a place where that's prohibited. What is the right and the wrong thing to do in such a situation? What is that intersection of morality and ethics and the law? So Pastor Wamalika will be helping us get into that. My pastor, good morning and welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. Greetings from Nairobi, Kenya.
Thank you. Really appreciate you connecting with us. Please speak to us a little bit about this. You know, we see a lot of places where Christianity is not allowed, the Bible is not allowed, or if people are even free to worship, they're not allowed to then share their faith with other people. So what exactly, as a Christian in such a place, is there a line that shouldn't be crossed? Is it okay, in the example I gave of smuggling a Bible into a country where that is banned? What exactly are we supposed to do in these situations?
The situation that you have described is a real situation, mm-hmm. even in the 21st century. There are places in the world, without mentioning countries, mm. where distribution of the Christian Bible is illegal, where preaching of any other religion apart from the one approved by the state is illegal, and there are people who have been imprisoned because of that. Others have even been killed because of that. Mm. And it is a reality. It's real. It's happening even today. As we are talking, there are people in the prison whose only mistake was that they were found with the Bible, or they were part of a system that was smuggling the Bible into forbidden countries. And therefore, I believe that this topic is quite relevant and to our listener, and that from it we shall be able to get some important guidelines.
I guess one of the first questions that one would ask in such a situation is, why would God allow someone to be imprisoned or even face death for when that person was trying to share the love of God, share the gospel of Jesus Christ? Why would God not step in and perform some big dramatic miracle so that, you know, he can be proven to be the true God, and all of those detractors and the people who are against the gospel will see for themselves that actually this is the one true God? Why does God allow it to get to that point?
Yeah, maybe before I go to that one, remember your first question was, is it moral or immoral?
Yes.
To be involved in the spread, in the distribution of the Bible,
yes,
across forbidden boundaries.
Mm, mm, mm.
Is it moral or immoral?
Yeah.
To preach the gospel in forbidden countries.
Yeah.
Maybe I should start from there, then I will come to why should God allow it.
Please.
Anything that we speak, anything that we say, what you have given to us is called situation ethics.
Okay.
Situation ethics is where the solution seems to be dictated by the situation on the ground.
Mm.
But usually the word smuggling has a negative connotation.
Yes.
But it is surprising that in the Bible, although the word is not used, but the idea of smuggling is there.
Mm.
And I want to highlight this so that it can become the basis,
okay,
of our looking at the question whether it is moral or immoral to smuggle Bibles across forbidden boundaries.
Right.
I want you to know that Bible presents the best examples. For example, if you read the Acts of the Apostles, Paul says he was smuggled through a window in the wall in a rope basket. That's what he says. He says his life was in danger, and the believers in Damascus smuggled him out, and that saved his life. We can be able to say that had they not done that smuggling, maybe Paul would have been killed.
Yeah.
And we would have not had the 14 letters that he wrote in the New Testament. And therefore, smuggling idea has a positive dimension to it.
Right.
So we find he was smuggled through the wall, through the window in the hall. That story is given in Acts chapter 9, verse 25, and also in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 32 to 33. Paul remembers the incident so well, and he says, I was smuggled through the window. As though that is not enough, we know of the story of Moses in the Bible. Moses was smuggled out of Egypt.
Yeah.
When he was born, remember the law was that any firstborn Hebrew child, any Hebrew child, that boy was to be killed. So Moses was smuggled out in a reed made basket along River Nile so that his life could be saved and he could be adopted. My listener who is listening to me, that story is in Exodus chapter 2, verse 1 up to 10. It describes the birth and the early life of Moses. So, if he had not been smuggled out, he would be among the Hebrew boys who were ordered to be killed.
Mm-hmm.
And if Moses had been killed when he was young, we would not have had the first five books of the Bible. Because they were written by Moses. Those books are called the Torah or the law. That's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. We would have not had the Exodus from Egypt. So you can see that smuggling of Moses out of Egypt can be looked at it from a positive perspective.
Yes.
Another thing that I also want to give you is that during the time of Jesus, John is recorded in Mark chapter 9, verse 39, 38. Mm-hmm. John says, the Mark 9, 38, he says that John the disciple complained to Jesus. He said, we saw someone who does not belong to our group. He is not one of us. He is not officially registered with our group, but we saw him casting out demons in your name. And know what we did? John says we told him to stop immediately. Then verse 9, Mark 9, verse 9 says, verse 39, it says, Jesus responded, do not stop him, for no one who does a miracle in my name can at the same time speak anything negative about me. And therefore you can see the principle we are getting here is that do not stop those who smuggle the Bible into these countries, because their motive supersedes the morality and other things.
Sure.
Yeah, they're out to spread the gospel. But the last thing, and the thing being smuggled, let me tell you, the thing being smuggled, or let me say, the person doing the smuggling does not ask whether what he's doing is ethically moral or not. That question, whether it is moral or not, is a question that is asked by spectators. When life is at risk, when eternity is in balance, the question of morality does not arise. The question that arises is, has the person in danger been saved? Has the good news been spread? And lastly, what I want to give you as the last one is what God himself did. Honestly speaking, when you study the gospel, you will discover one thing, that God smuggled Christ into this world, not in a basket, but a basket of humanity. He clothed him in humanity, and he smuggled him to this world.
Hey.
Christ came, he was born in an enemy territory. He came to this planet without a visa. That is why, as soon as he was born, Satan activated all his agents, like Herod the Great, the Jewish leaders and others. He activated them against Christ. And you see what God did? God adopted all weird ways and smuggled him through Joseph and Mary to Egypt. The story of redemption, my listener, is the story of how we were smuggled out. And therefore, I would like to see that when life is in danger and there's a need for protection or for saving, the question is not one of whether it is moral or immoral. The question changes to, have this person been saved? And I wanted just to speak here to say that, you see, when Christ came, Satan informed him during the temptation of Jesus.
Right.
Satan told him that he was the one in control of the whole planet. He told him, all this power has been given to me, referring to the handover that took place when Adam fell, the dominion went to Satan.
Yeah.
And he said, I control everything, and I give to whomsoever I will. From that perspective, Christ knew that this planet was a forbidden area. And that is why he used to call Satan by different names. He would call him the ruler of this world, king of this world, the God of this world. You see, he recognized that. So it is in that context that I'm saying God sent his son, or he smuggled his son into humanity in order to save man.
Sure.
And therefore, my dear listener, when it comes to God's perspective, maybe we should not call it smuggling. Maybe we should, or if we have to use the word smuggling, we should be able to see that what matters is not the method, it is the motive. The motive is what makes the whole difference. So people who smuggle Bibles into forbidden lands, the question that I would like to ask my listener on Adventist World Radio of South Indian Division of Seventh-day Adventists, the question I want to ask you is, what is the motive of the one doing the smuggling of the Bible? If his motive is to make money, then you are right to say it's unethical.
Okay.
I hope you're listening. The motive for sending out Bibles to forbidden countries is not to make financial gains. It's to save a soul in balance of life. So what I'm trying to suggest here in this, without going too much into a lot of it, what I'm trying to say is that the gospel commission was given across all ethnic and political boundaries. And that's what God says, I'm with you. So if God said I'm with you, it means he's walking together with you even as you smuggle that Bible. I hope you are getting me very clear. Because he said, go across all ethnic and political boundaries.
Yeah,
and here it is included forbidden countries. And then he added this statement, I am with you. So the focus is not on the method, but on the motive. It's the motive that makes the method moral.
Yeah.
Smuggling Bibles becomes only immoral if the motive is to make money.
Yeah.
Or to make a report which can be published somewhere so that you get the praise.
Yes.
That is what my perspective is, because whatever we do must always be close to what the Bible teaches.
Yeah.
And therefore I want to say, smuggling the Bible across forbidden countries, what it determines whether it is moral or not is the motive.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Which, I guess, at the end of the day, the only person who can judge that is, first of all, the person who's doing it knows what their motive is. And then, of course, God, who reads the heart, can judge what exactly the motive was. And he ultimately is the one who gets to decide whether this was moral or immoral to break that law.
Most cases, when you have a passion for something, you see, God loved the world so much that he smuggled Christ into humanity. Incarnation was irreversible. Incarnation was the divine entering into humanity, being united to humanity. And because of that, we have been saved.
Amen.
It was not an illegality that he did.
Yes.
All those who have been saved through that, they sing not about the smuggling, but they sing about a God who gave his son to humanity. So, my dear listener, he who God himself is the one who sends us to go. He says go. He knows the risks involved. He knows the law that prohibits that going. But he still says, go.
Go.
And then the most surprising thing says, I'm with you. So
beautiful.
Those two terms leave us surprised. So in the real sense, the one who has a passion for taking the word across, the one who has a passion to go and preach the gospel.
Yeah.
Does not ask the question, is it moral or immoral? That is the question of a spectator. The one who is doing it asks only one question. What is the final results? The final results justify the means.
That's powerful. Now, in the remaining 2 to 3 minutes that we have left, what is the reason, would you say, or I would assume there's probably more than one reason, but why does God allow it? Why does he allow people to go through the most who essentially they are willing to lay down their lives because they too, in most cases, will know the risks associated and they've decided to still go ahead. But why does God allow them to go through these things?
That's a very good question. You know, we all know that God is all-powerful.
Yeah.
That means there is no variation in his power. There's nothing that he cannot do. But if God was to demonstrate how powerful it is, it is not by going the normal way we think.
Okay.
Because the Bible says, my ways are not your ways.
If
God decided to use the power immediately, that will not be a surprise. The surprise would be that he has that power, but he's choosing not to use it. Instead, he's using the humble power, the humble option.
Yeah.
It's because God allows it. He allows these people to suffer. Some of them even die, but he still remains God. We don't doubt him. He still remains God.
Yeah.
We know Our God is powerful,
mm-hmm.
not because he has done something. You remember Daniel, when he was put in the on the furnace of fire, he made a statement that still rings today. He said, we know our God is able to save us. Mm-hmm. We know he will save us. And then he added this statement, even if he does not,
mm-hmm.
we shall still believe him. It
Amen.
Means we don't use the demonstration of his power as a measure to believe in him. We still believe in him.
Sure.
And therefore, I would like to respond to that question and say, he's still God, even if he allows the messengers to die on the way.
Mm.
He's still God. He's still powerful, even if he allows the enmity to continue. He's still God. Because it is his command.
Yeah.
That's taking place.
Wow. Wow. Thank you so much, my pastor. That was profound. I really appreciate the conversation that we've just had. Thank you for making time to speak with us this morning and just sharing your input and your insights on this subject. God bless you and have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much.
Family, that was the voice of Pastor Wamalika speaking to us about morality and ethics and the law when it comes to situations where someone might, you know, choose to smuggle a Bible into a place where it's prohibited or spread the word of God. Those risky things that some people do in order to share the word of God. He talked about the motivation behind that. Our motives are not always perfect. While some person's motive is to share the love of God and to go ye therefore, as we've been told to do in God's word, another person's motive might be just to get recognition or other things that are more, you know, self-based rather than based on God and his command for us to share his word. So, and at the end of the day, it's God who's going to make that judgment call because he sees the heart even better than we can see our own hearts. And definitely it's a very important thing to consider, especially when you think of the fact that there are so many places where the Bible is in fact banned and you know, evangelism is not allowed. How do those people get to hear the word of God? How do they get to experience the love of God? How can we share the love of God with people if they're not, you know, if we're not even allowed to do that? And so it is definitely something to consider. And I would also say, for those who are in places where you're free to worship as you please, let's not take that for granted. Let's not take it for granted. This is a privilege that many people don't get to experience. And so when you have the choice to go and worship among fellow believers, take that seriously. When you have the option to kneel down and pray, when you have the option to pray for your food publicly in a restaurant, when you have the option to worship God freely, take it. Don't take it for granted, because at some point, it's not going to be so easy. It's not going to be so simple. And in many places, it already isn't so easy or so simple. So definitely food for thought there on this beautiful Sunday morning. Let's take a break. We'll be right back after this.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.